you have your Bible or a Bible app with you, I invite you to pull that out at this time. We are going to be in John chapter 15. We are continuing our series through the Gospel of John with a focus on the life and ministry of Jesus, the one who was the very revelation of God. There was so much that we gain through our faith in Jesus, but to follow after Jesus often means that we are at odds with the world around us. Jesus has something to say about that this morning. John chapter 15 will be in verses 18 through 27, and I'll begin reading in verse 18. This is Jesus speaking. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for our chance to be gathered together today in worship. We thank you specifically today for our children and students. They are such a blessing to us and such a blessing to our church. And so what a joy to have them lead us in worship today. We thank you for your invitation to come into this space. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you as well for the gift of Scripture, specifically the Gospel of John. And in these next few minutes, as we focus on these verses, I pray you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever been the victim of a bait and switch? You promised one thing and another thing was delivered. This happens to me all of the time at the hands of my beloved friend, Jeff Holmes. Now, Jeff is a good guy. Jeff is a follower of Jesus. Jeff used to be a pastor. And yet still, the bait and switch happens all the time. You see, Jeff is one of my cycling friends, and we often go on cycling trips together. And Jeff is very techie, and he loves to research the cycling routes that we're going to ride on these trips. So we're up late the night before, and he's got his computer out, and he's routing this thing out for us and telling me the kinds of features we're going to see. And I'll say something to him like, maybe let's stay around 40 miles. Let's not go longer than 40 and, 5,000 feet of climbing, something like that, because I'm not sure I have more than that in me, Jeff. And he's like, got it, no problem. So he'll route this thing out, he uploads it into his Garmin, which is a device that guides us once we start riding, and sure enough, and it happens every single time, we get out to about mile 35, and I'm looking around, and we are nowhere near the finish line. We are nowhere near our place where we're staying, and I say to Jeff, we said 40 miles and 5,000 feet of climbing, didn't we? And he says, yeah. And I said, we don't look like we're near the finish line. Oh, yeah, there was this other cool part I wanted to go on the backside. And there we go. The bait and switches happen again. And by the time that we get back at 55 miles and 10,000 feet of climbing, he apologizes, yet I'm sure it's going to happen again the very next time that we ride. In that case, the bait and switch isn't too painful, aside from some sore legs afterward, but it can be incredibly painful depending on how it happens to us. When it comes to our faith in Jesus Christ, there is no bait and switch. Jesus doesn't do this to us. He does not promise a life without strife or conflict when we choose to believe. In fact, in today's verses, he says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Well, this is terrible news, because we know Jesus means what he says. Jesus had been hated by the religious leaders of his day, and it was a hate that would pin him to a cross less than 24 hours after this teaching. And now he's telling us that we too will be hated in the same way. Who exactly will be hating us? Well, we will be hated by the world, we're told. And the world is this Greek word, cosmos. Cosmos. And cosmos actually has three primary meanings in the Gospel of John. The first is creation. It's used in chapter 1, verse 10 to refer to the creation of the world. Cosmos is all that God made when he made this world that we live in. The second definition is humanity. We see that in John 3:16, where we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son to save the world. The third and final meaning is the one that Jesus means here. It means society that is apart from or opposed to God. It refers to the values, the pleasures, the pastimes, and the aspirations of a society that is apart from God, the society that we live in. Jesus wants us to be aware of this system, and so he mentions the world five times in verse 19 alone. 1 John 3:13 says this, do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. 1 John was written years after the Gospel of John, and what Jesus is talking about here in the Gospel of John had become a reality for Christians already. They were being resisted, they were being hated, and we're warned not to be surprised by it. And yet Jesus wants us to understand why it happens. Why does this hatred exist? Well, Jesus offers four reasons in our text today. The first is we are identified with Christ. It's referenced in verses 18 and 20. And because Jesus was hated first, and we are the servant of him as our master, he says it makes perfect sense that we too will be hated because of our identification with him. Secondly, we don't belong to the world any longer. This is referenced in verse 19. We've been chosen out of the world, and therefore we no longer fit. The Apostle Paul, in another place, refers to us saying, you are not of this world. Sure, we live in this world, but once we have found Jesus, once he has found us, and once that transformation begins, we don't fit into this world the way we used to, and because of that, hatred can sometimes come. Thirdly, the world is unaware of spiritual truth. That's referenced in verse 21. They don't know our Heavenly Father. And so this counterintuitive community that we've been called to, in this counterintuitive way that we choose to live, it can be easily misunderstood by people around us. Sometimes we can be clumped together with others who don't even share our faith exactly, but go by the name of Christian, and that brings some of the hate as well. Fourthly, the world resents Jesus' claims. It's referenced in verse 22. And this speaks as to the way that Jesus exposes sin in the world. In chapter 7, verse 7 of our gospel, Jesus says, they hate because I testify that their works are evil. A difficult testimony that comes from Jesus prompts a hateful response from many, and we become associated with that teaching and those claims when we choose to follow after Jesus in this world. Jesus wants us to know that this persecution, which is motivated by hatred, is a continuation of the hatred that he himself received. It's because of him. That means that no matter how well we love each other and the world around us, it is still going to happen. So is it worth it? Why has Jesus placed us in this line of fire? Well, according to him in this morning's text, it's because we have a job to do. There is a task at hand. If you look back at verses 26 to 27, Jesus says, when the advocate comes, he will testify about me. But there's more. And you also, Jesus says, must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. This testifying, this testimony is about the Holy Spirit. It's about what it means to be a believer. It's about the kingdom of God. And the mission Jesus has commissioned requires that we testify to what we know. Now, we may not be eyewitnesses as these apostles were, but we are witnesses with a story. Every single one of us has a story of how we encountered Christ. We have a story about what made us choose to believe in Christ. We have a story about the transformation that Christ has begun to work inside of us. And because it is our story to tell. And because we have that same Holy Spirit inside of us that Jesus refers to here as the advocate, we are empowered to share that story with anyone who will listen. What Jesus seems to be asking of us in this passage is that each of us would pause and consider the cost of what it means to follow after him. Now, when I first looked at my sermon guide in preparation for this Sunday, I thought, oh, this is so cool. We're having the kids in and the students. Let's see what the text is going to be. Oh, we're all hated by the world. Wonderful text for Youth Sunday, isn't it? But the further I studied into it, I realized this is not a terrifying text. It's actually a very level-headed read into what it looks like to follow after Jesus. Because no matter our age, and no matter how long we've followed after Jesus, we have encountered some of this. We've encountered some of this bias. And that's okay. It's not something that we teach and preach about to turn us around or turn us away. And it's not something that we preach and teach about to fill us with anxiety, but instead to help us know that as we've sung about suffering, as we heard in our Voices video about Jesus being present in our suffering, that Jesus is present with us today, no matter what we come up against, no matter the misunderstandings we face. He understands what that feels like. He has endured that pain, and he will walk with us as we go through the same. But we pause today, and we consider that there is a cost associated with our faith. What will it cost to be Jesus' disciple? What will it cost for us to follow him? Are we ready for that cost? Turn with me, or simply sit back and listen, to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19, as we close our time in the scriptures today. Peter says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Instead, rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." Our suffering won't begin to compare with the sufferings of Christ. And our suffering is minor compared to the sufferings of the persecuted church all around the world, even today. But are we ready to suffer for his name? Are we ready to suffer for his cause? If we are, Jesus will bring his kingdom and his blessings and his grace through us. Amen? Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, your teaching is hard to hear. And while anxiety might spring up initially within us in hearing what you've taught on this day, we realize that these words that you uttered to your disciples right before your death were intentional. You wanted them to know what was to come, but you also wanted them to know that you would be with them every step of the way. The same is true for us. You have found us, you have changed us, you have transformed us, and we choose you and we choose to follow after you. Give us the strength that we need through your Spirit within us to face whatever it is that comes our way. Because we know that this world around us, even a world that sometimes seems to hate us, is a world that needs the hope of your gospel as well. May we be the ones who bring that hope through the way we live and love and follow you. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.